This is Jake the Snake Roberts. But no doubt, you must be listening to the Interactive Interview. And you better keep listening.
You're listening to Interactive Wrestling Radio, featuring the Interactive Interview, courtesy of WrestlingEpicenter.com.
This is Demolition Axe, and you're listening to the Interactive Wrestling Radio.
Welcome back to Interactive Wrestling Radio. My name is James Walsh, and this week we have three interviews, or two interviews and a teleconference. Sounds like a sitcom. We have a lot of great stuff here for you this week right here on WrestlingEpicenter.com as we bring you the Impact Wrestling Press Pass podcast. Easy to say, especially if you have a lot of spit in your mouth. It is with Michael Elgin, the big star that moved over from New Japan Pro Wrestling over to Impact Wrestling and is making a splash. The exclusives for this week are Jake the Snake Roberts. We had Jake on back in 2003 for an epic three-part interview. I mean, it was huge for us. We had him on again in 2008. I don't really remember that one. And then we did it again here in 2019 to promote his Dirty Details tour, which is on the road right now, coming here to Mesa, Arizona on the 21st, Tucson, Arizona on the 22nd. Check out the schedule on his Facebook page. Just look up Jake the Snake Roberts. And next up is Self-Help, the new book by Al Snow. Al Snow joins us for a multiple time. He's been with us multiple times before to discuss his new book, which is out now, his autobiography. And we get a lot of really detailed answers from Al about a lot of things going on in wrestling right now, as well as his book, of course. But he discusses purchasing OVW, the reasons why he did it, as well as discussing AEW and his concerns for what they're going to be doing when they launch. And everybody wants to know what they're going to do when they launch, because that is what's driving the wrestling ship right now. Without any further delay, let's get you over to the interview here on WrestlingEpicenter.com.
Hey, everybody, this is Ricky Steamboat, and you are listening to the Interactive Interview.
Welcome back to Interactive Wrestling Radio. On the Newsmaker line with me right now is a gentleman who joined us in 2003 from the UK with an epic piece. And he's joining us once again here in 2019 as he's on the road. It's Jake the Snake Roberts. Are you with me, sir?
Yes, sir.
It's a pleasure to have you back on. So here we are. It's 2019 and you're on the road for the Dirty Dirty Details Tour. I want to say Dirty Deeds because I got AC/DC on the brain.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what's going on? What made you decide to do this this stand-up show?
I just want to have fun, man, and get out there and see the fans and rub elbows with them and hear their stories and see if I can help some people along sobriety's road. And this is how I'm doing it. I went and watched Mick Foley's show, and I thought, well, I know I'm funnier than that. So I think I'll start me a show. And then all I did was just say, well, heck, instead of writing new comedy, why don't I just talk about the things that's happened in the past? You know, Lord knows I've got plenty of that to go over. I've wrestled for 37 years, so I got 37 years of material to work through, so I'll be busy for a while.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it looks like a lot of fun. I've been watching a lot of the clips that they put up on YouTube. And the one thing I've really noticed is a lot of the fans, a lot of the guys my age, I'm 37, going to be 37. So a lot of guys my age, they all go crazy. It's like Elvis coming out on stage. Did you ever think that there would be such a, I don't want to use the word nostalgia, but so many people look fondly back on the 80s wrestling and 90s wrestling scenes and just want to know more about it and are so enthralled with it?
Well, I think, you know, because Vince, you know, putting it out there all the time now, the network, that it not only brings it back, but it also creates new fans of that era. You know, I mean, I go to Comic-Cons all the time, and I'll run into kids that are 8, 9 years old. They want my autograph. I'm like, wait a minute, you guys weren't even born when I was wrestling. And they're like, yeah, but we watched this, and you did that. And they know more about me than I know about me. It's amazing. And I'm really grateful for it, too, man, because it's just given me another career.
Absolutely. And like I mentioned, you just seem to be in a happier place. When I interviewed you in 2003, you weren't as happy and laughing.
No, I was miserable. I was really miserable back then, man. You know, I was still, you know, still drinking and using drugs and stuff. And there were dark times for me, man. I'm very fortunate that I made it through it. I mean, by rights, I shouldn't have, because, man, I was a mess. And I didn't even want to live anymore, so... Really, really dark times, but I did persevere and came through it. Took a lot of hard work, but I've been clean now 7 years, so
absolutely,
things are beautiful.
Absolutely. How much credit do you give to DDP for your sobriety?
Well, I'll tell you, the real truth on that thing, man, is, you know, DDP opened his doors and he gave me a safe place. But I had to do the work, you mm-hmm. know, I mean. He didn't go to meetings with me. I did. You know, I went to meetings every day, you know, and, you know, he facilitated the things, what he did. He didn't actually, you know, partake in it. You know, he gave me the safe place to be at. As far as me traveling, I had to, you know, he made rules and stuff like, okay, you got to take somebody with you. So that meant I had to pay somebody to go with me. I was never alone, but he seldom was a part of it. But, you know, facilitating it, yes, he was a big part of it.
Cool. Yeah, how is your relationship with him now?
Pretty good. Pretty good. You know, we talk all the time. So, you know, he's doing a lot, and so am I, man. We kind of went our separate ways there, you know. I mean, I'm busy on the road all the time. He doesn't want to be on the road. So there you go.
There you go. All right. So... we talked a little bit about the fact that there's a market for wrestling out there right now, and I got to ask you, yeah, very much so. WWE doing huge numbers, and there's new talk about this AEW promotion. I'd love to pick your brain. What do you think of what they're doing and how they're starting up and the buzz around them?
Well, they've had to create a lot of buzz, man, because I need to kick it off and make a splash, and they're going to do it. They're going to make that splash. How they follow it up, that's going to be the key, you know, for the success, you know, right there. If they don't follow it up with something good, then it's just, it's over, you know. They're spending a lot of money, and the guy's got deep pockets. So the hope is that he will put wrestling back out there and make it a competitive thing with him and McMahon. That would be the best thing that could happen. But the problem is the talent. You know, there isn't a huge talent pool like there used to be. You know, there are a lot of guys today are just, you know, cookie cutter types, and they're not characters. They don't know how to do it yet. And that's the bad part about Vince's machine. You know, his machine creates new talent all the time, but this talent never gets a chance to really grow and become something to where they're unique. You know, they're all, you know, built at that performance center, and the guys learn a bunch of moves, and that's it. You know, as far as doing their own interviews, they don't do their own interviews. It's all written and scripted stuff. And when you're doing script and stuff like that, the character's not there, and the people see through it. They realize that, you know, these guys are, you know, they're just reading, you know, and the fans want more. And they deserve more, you know. And but whenever Vince started this whole thing up and he killed all the territories, those were the breeding grounds for the talent. So there it went, You know, it's hard to learn. It's hard to learn how to wrestle wrestling once or twice a week. You can't do it. You know, you've got to get out there and go 5, 6, 7 days a week. You know, week after week after week to polish it, to hone it, to get it right, to where it's second nature. And that's what these guys are missing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So one of my favorite things to watch right now, and it's kind of a morbid curiosity given the nature of it, is these Dark Side of the Ring documentaries.
Yeah, we're watching that.
Yeah, you're on there. You were on there last night with the Gino Hernandez.
Times.
Yes, sir. How did you enjoy being part of that, and have you seen the finished product, and what do you think of them?
I thought it was a pretty good job they've done, you know. I mean, all in all, you know, I thought they did a fair job, and I think they were pretty fair with what they did. You know, they didn't go for jugular veins or any of that, but they did tell the truth a lot, and they brought some things up that need to be brought up, and I like it.
All right. So when I interviewed you back in 2003, you were tinkering with the idea of doing a series of videos instead of a book. And then WWE did the DVD for you about 3 or 4 years later. Was that was that like a book? Do you look at that like a book, or does that not?
No, not at all. Not at all. My book will be out in the next few months.
Oh, really? You're going to do a real book? Tangible book?
Yeah, 600 pages. I did it myself, every word of it.
Really? I can't wait to read that thing. Wow.
Yeah, it's going to be it's going to blow some things out of the water, man, because it's straight up all me, about me, and the inside and out of me. So it's done with a lot of hard work and a lot of love, and it's very passionate about it. Taking 6, 7 years to do it, and I've spent a lot of time on it, man, and speaking from my heart, you know, and not from my head. So there's a lot of things come out. People, I think, will understand more about wrestling, wrestlers, and life.
Very cool. May 21st, you're going to be out here in literally my hometown of Mesa, Arizona, at a place I've been to, actually, a number of times. I've seen a lot of concerts there. It's a place called Club Red. Very, very nice place to play at. They're notorious for going really late, though, so I hope they don't do that. They don't do that.
That ain't happening. I'll be done early.
That's excellent.
I'm that lovely age. I like to be in bed before midnight, man.
That's wonderful. Well, yeah, I work at 4 a.m., so it's kind of a given. I
don't
I gotta
do that anymore.
Do you have any memories during your wrestling career? Any fond memories of being out here in the desert in Arizona?
Oh, I've got fond memories of being everywhere, man. I just, you know, the fans is what it's all about for me. It always has been, man. And great fans through Arizona, Phoenix, you know, all the cities of Tucson, all the places I've went, you know, I've always been accepted and received very well, and I do appreciate each and every one of them.
All right. Last question. For those on the fence who don't know what to expect from a Jake the Snake Roberts performance, from seeing Jake the Snake's Dirty Details tour, what would you say fans can expect when they go see you in person?
Well, bring some Kleenex to clean your ears out afterwards. It's definitely rated R or X. You know, nobody under 18 is allowed in. But other than that, man, just get ready for the ride of your life to hear the things that you thought you wanted to hear about. After you hear about him, you're going to be shaking your head going, oh, my God, these guys are crazy. Because this is the crazy times. In the 80s and 90s, you know, 70s, we were wild, man. We were on fire. We were running hard. And boys that run hard, they play hard. And we did.
You guys weren't going back to your rooms and playing video games back then?
No, none of that.
All right,
you're going to hear all the stories about me, the snake, and everything else, and where it went and what we did.
All right, man.
Entertain ourselves.
Absolutely. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. I appreciate you
taking this
15 minutes here.
Appreciate it.
And I'll see you on the 21st in Mesa.
All right. Hey, folks, bring your memorabilia out. I'll sign that stuff up. Come early for the meet and greet.